Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. I'm your host and narrator, Wayne Anderson, and in this podcast I read from my personal collection of unpublished stories for your listening pleasure. This week we are continuing with the Hell Conduit, a new longer story I hope you guys are into because there's a lot more to come. Before we do get started, this episode is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. Please go check them out and follow at Orange Hat Film Productions on Instagram. They're building a great community of filmmakers and film fans interested in learning more about Orange Hat behind the scenes, new and old projects, and the crew and cast involved in bringing their films from script to screen. You can find more on www.orangehatfilmproductions.com, and I highly suggest you guys go check it out. I mean, if you've listened to my podcast thus far and you haven't gone and checked them out, what the hell are you doing? Without any further ado, here we go. Chapter 9. Jake woke up terrified. Not because he had dreams of hell all night, but because, either way, dreams or not, he was worried about waking up with blood on his hands. That would be his luck. After one of the worst days, but best nights of his life, if he woke up to find he had murdered her in his sleep. For once, however, it seemed like the fates were smiling down on him and decided to give him a break. Because he woke up still wrapped around Lydia, her breasts rising up and down slowly with every gentle breath, a smile on her face, even as she dreamed. Now that he had said it aloud, he could fully admit it to himself. God, how he loved her. He gently moved her arm from around him, and her left leg, which was draped across his own. He got up and went to the bathroom, showered, threw some gel in his short hair to prevent it from getting frizzy, and by the time he got out and returned to the living room slash kitchen, she was awake, dressed, and making coffee.
Good morning, lover,
she said seductively as she threw him a wink. He flushed, still not used to this. A happy relationship. They hadn't had sex until last night, or had spent the night together, and considering, it had went much better than he could have ever hoped. Morning, he said, unable to think of anything better to say. Or romantic. But truly wishing that he could. She had shown him the best night of his life last night, and he wanted to return the favor, but the only thing he could think of saying was, breakfast?
Yes, please,
she said. He started busying himself preparing breakfast. As amazing as last night was, he was embarrassed that he had cried after sex. He didn't think that she would hold it against him, but it still made him feel like less a man. In the middle of preparing eggs, toast, and bacon, he turned and said, Look, about last night.
Last night was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. But...
You say but too much, you know that?
Yeah, sorry, I...
You also say sorry too much.
Sorry. She laughed, and it made Jake feel a little less self-conscious.
Last night was perfect, truly. I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Me neither. Jake enjoyed the comfortable silence over the next few minutes while he finished scrambling eggs and buttering toast. He brought the plate over to her and she licked her lips.
You may not be able to cook much, but what you can cook, you cook well.
Thanks, Jake said, trying not to blush because, after all, his cooking was one of the only things he truly took pride in. While they ate, Lydia said,
So, what's the plan for today?
This took Jake back a little. Not because he didn't want to spend the day with her, he did, but because now that he knew demons were prowling everywhere nowadays, he wasn't sure where would be safe, if anywhere was anymore. I thought we could just stay in.
That's boring. Let's go look for trouble,
she said, grinning. Jake agreed, if only to make her happy, but was truly concerned about just what type of trouble they may find, or what trouble would find them. After eating breakfast, Lydia showered while Jake cleaned up their dishes. By the time she was done, so was he, and they decided to go out for coffee, even though they already had some with breakfast. It was their morning tradition, and even though they spent the night together, they decided that didn't mean that their silly early relation tradition shouldn't keep going. When they walked out the front door, Jake wasn't entirely surprised to see that the hitchhiking demon with the Led Zeppelin shirt was standing on his front lawn, waving at him and Lydia. Chapter 10. Even though the Zeppelin demon was smiling and waving jubilantly, Jake didn't have any reason to trust him as of yet, and so put his arm in front of Lydia and pushed her gently back through the doorway. Give me a minute, sweetie. Close the door. Maybe lock it. Just don't come out unless I say, okay? Lydia must have known that something potentially bad was going on, even if she had no idea what, because she followed Jake's instructions without questioning them. He could feel her eyes watching him through the peephole in his front door, but was relieved to know that at least she was safe, for now, and following his instructions. What the hell, man? If I knew you'd be waiting outside this morning, I wouldn't have given you a ride to begin with. The demon with the Zeppelin shirt looked genuinely embarrassed by this. Yeah, I know, and look, I get it. But I wouldn't be here if it wasn't important. Jake raised his eyebrows quizzically, encouraging the demon to continue. It briefly occurred to him that he was speaking more confidently to the demon than to any of the actual people in his life, but he shrugged it off dismissively. The demon was looking around worriedly and seemed to miss the cue, so Jake cleared his throat and asked, "So what is it then? What's so important that you waited outside my house all night?" Almost sheepishly, the demon said, "It wasn't all night. I left and came back." "Why?" "I don't know how much you know, okay? And there are rules in place, and there's a bunch of fucking rules, but some are easier to break than others, to prevent me from doing or saying too much to you." He looked around cautiously again. "They say the conduits should be left alone to discover things, but that's the kind of bullshit rule that was put in place to protect them, not you." Jake sighed and said, "You must be aware that I have no clue what you're talking about." This time it was the demon's turn to look surprised. "But you've awakened, no? You can see us?" He waved his hand in front of his face. As we really are, you know? "Yeah, if you mean the horns, yes. Yes, I can see them. That doesn't mean I understand why I can see them. Or what the hell I'm supposed to do with said knowledge. Or even what a conduit is." The demon looked temporarily baffled. Then shook his head. You didn't make a deal?" "What deal? What the fuck are you talking about?" The demon seemed to ignore this and went on. "That is interesting. I've never heard of a conduit that wasn't aware of the deal. I'm honestly not even sure what that means." He put a hand to his scruffy chin and rubbed it, his eyes moving this way and that, passing over things without seeing them. The look of a man lost deep in thought. Jake, not quite frustrated, but certainly annoyed, cleared his throat loudly, and the demon's eyes focused back on him. "My girlfriend's inside, probably watching us. I can't just stand here all day chatting. Look, do you have anything to tell me that I need to know? Because as of yet, all you've done is confuse me." The demon looked stupidly at Jake and then, slowly, said, "Really?" Jake threw his arms into the air, exasperated. He chuckled, but what he really wanted to do was slap the Zeppelin demon upside his stupid horned head. "I have no idea what's going on with any of this demon shit, and I don't really care. Get off my property, or I'll call the cops." Jake turned and walked back to the house before the demon had a chance to reply. He didn't have to look back to know that the demon was shuffling away. Jake could hear his sneakers scraping along the pavement as he went, and was glad for it. This was all strange, There was no questioning that. But Jake felt oddly calm. He had spent most of his life absolutely drenched in the torrential downpour that was the nightmares and what they entailed. But he had adjusted to the damp and the cold, and he had trudged on. Now, seemingly out of nowhere, the clouds were parting, and Jake didn't even care why. He just wanted to bask in the sun. He opened the door and saw Lydia sitting down near the front entryway on a small stool. When he entered, she looked up at him curiously from her phone, where she was presently crushing candy. Don't worry about it, just some weird guy from down the street. I barely even knew what he was talking about. Let's go get that coffee and... He paused briefly before finishing. Maybe find some trouble? Chapter 11. Rather than to go get coffee and donuts, Lydia convinced Jake to drive a little farther. There was an art exhibit happening not too far from their usual morning meetup, and she would like to check it out, she had said. He must have been distracted as he drove, because he realized suddenly that Lydia had asked him a question. He could tell by the uptick in her voice at the end of the sentence, though he hadn't heard the sentence itself. He looked over distractedly and said, "Sorry, what?"
"Oh, nothing, just... are you okay?"
Jake, who was distantly aware that his eyes were darting around at all of the demons he was seeing as they continued to drive, realized that he must look off, maybe paranoid. Not to mention all the things the Zeppelin demon had said. What deal? He made a conscious effort to try and ignore the demons and focused back on Lydia and the road. "Yeah, sorry, just a little out of it after last night, I guess," he said. He smiled at her, and she smiled back, but there was a quizzical look in her eyes. Turning back to the road, he thought, "Damn it, she's too smart. She can read it all over your face, you idiot. Stop thinking about the demons, or at the very least, worry about them later. It's not like they're noticing you." Which seemed to be true. The Zeppelin demon and the man in black aside, none of the demons seemed to be aware of Jake or what he was capable of seeing, or seeing through. That, of course, did nothing to assuage his feeling of reality, not quite bending, but tilting, and in doing so, showing him peaks behind a curtain that most weren't likely ever able to see. It was quite a lot to try and ignore, but Jake knew he had to try, at least temporarily. It wasn't much longer before they arrived. The art exhibit, that Jake assumed was in the rec center, was actually happening in the recreation center parking lot. It was a beautiful day, and people were spread all over the large lot with stands and boards and posters and tables and paintings and knickknacks. Jake parked the car, and almost immediately upon exiting, Lydia exclaimed and sauntered over, without a word to Jake, to a nearby table full to the brim of shiny baubles that were glinting madly in the early afternoon sun. He watched her for a moment, smiling, before locking the car doors and walking over to join her. "See anything you like?" he asked, approaching her from behind.
"So much already,"
she said, turning to Jake, and then back to the young lady selling her wares at the table.
"I'll be back."
She grasped Jake's hand and pulled him along to the next items of interest. A man had set up a small display of paintings. The paintings were all in simple frames and were stacked and leaned haphazardly around the man, who sat in a small stool in the midst of his controlled chaos. He gestured around to his piles of paintings and said, "Poke through. They're all $20. Lydia, who was already thumbing through a large pile of paintings, said,
"Wow, you do all of these yourself?"
"Yep," the painter said. "Got a lot of time lately in my old age. They don't take me long, in all honesty, so I don't ever charge too much for them. If you find three you want, I'll give them to you for 45 and we'll call square." Jake was barely listening. He was looking at the man's head. There were two small, blood-red horns that protruded from below the painter's hairline. They looked like classic devil horns, and Jake, not for the first time, wondered if there was any significance to the size and shape of horns, or if they were perhaps determined by genetics like so much else, or if they were magic. Jake sighed to himself quietly. Who was he kidding? you barely knew anything about what was going on, and his cavalier, I'll figure it out as I go attitude would only get him so far and yield so many answers. He would, eventually, have to know more. He knew this. But nonetheless, he was in no rush. Was it because, for the first time in a while, his life was going relatively okay, dare he say good? Maybe. But he thought it more likely because he was afraid of knowing. After all, once you learnt some things, you couldn't unlearn them. Lydia did purchase 3 paintings from the demon. 45, and we'll call it square. As well as some costume jewelry from various other stands before they decided to head out. Jake wasn't overly keen on owning paintings made by a demon, but what could he possibly say? They were fine, after all. The paintings were all the same size, 5x7, and were all different abstract splatters and shapes of color. Lydia had gone out of her way to find 3 whose colors seemed to leak into each other a bit, and wanted to set them up to each other in Jake's kitchen, next to each other, which he did when they arrived back at his. As they were leaving, the demon waved goodbye, saying, "Thank you for your patronage. Have a blessed day now." Jake chuckled and found this supremely odd. He had no idea what to make of it. They relaxed the rest of the day. Jake made them simple but decent sandwiches for lunch. They watched funny videos on YouTube and got frequently distracted by conversation. They decided to order pizza for supper and watched a scary movie as the night wound down. It wasn't anything special, and yet, it was bliss. They made love again. Thank God I didn't cry again. Glad that's not a regular thing, Jake thought. And Jake was about to ask if she wanted to stay again, hoping she would say yes, and maybe the nightmares would stay away. When she said that she should probably get home. She had some stuff to do tomorrow, and if she stayed the night, she wouldn't want to leave. He begrudgingly agreed and walked her to her car, then kissed her goodbye, watching as she drove off. He returned to his apartment and tidied up before getting ready for bed. He lay down and stared at the ceiling for a few minutes, pondering the latest developments, thinking mostly of the Zeppelin demon. Who was he, and why did he know what he knew? How did he know? He continued to think about the demon for a while as he drifted slowly towards sleep. Then, he was in hell. And that's it for this week, ladies and gents. Thank you everybody so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe, leave a review if you haven't, it would really help me out. And part 4 of The Hell Conduit will be coming late next month, usually making these towards the very end of the month. That just seems to be the way it's working out. So please stay tuned. And again, subscribe if you have not. Thank you once again, Orange Hat Film Productions, for sponsoring the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it because there's a lot more to come. And until next time, have a good one.